If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. We've got a great guest today. It's Jeff Ratcliffe. He does fantasy football over at Pro Football Focus. He's also an award-winning Sirius XM host, and he's on TV at CBS Sports Net. Jeff, thanks for coming to the show. How are you doing?
I'm actually fantastic. I'm excited that the NFL was able to pull this off without any major hiccups. I mean, yeah, it got a little goofy at times. I'm looking at you, Mike Vrabel, but otherwise we needed this. And I think this is just a really positive sign. I know a lot of people are still concerned that we're not going to have football this year. I do think we are. Next step is the schedule. We got to get there first, but this was a positive sign. We're going in the right direction.
I love hearing you say that, Jeff. Tags, what's going on, man?
Oh, nothing much, man. I'm always happy to talk to Jeff. Jeff is, as you just mentioned, Jeff is a very busy guy, but Jeff used to be my boss over at PFF and gave me my first actual writing gig in the business. So I always appreciate what Jeff did for me. And I'm always happy to talk to him because him and I, we may have differing opinions at times and we're both like, we're pretty strong opinionated. But the thing is, as of late, we've been agreeing on a lot of things. So I wonder if that changes today.
It'll be interesting because, I mean, we've never done Jeff's done a draft, but Tags, you and I haven't done a draft since this. I have no idea what's going to happen, when people are going to be coming off the board, especially all the rookies. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hey guys, give Jeff a follow on Twitter if you don't already. He's at his name, Jeff Ratcliffe. I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro, and Tags is at Mike Tagliere NFL. You guys ready to begin this draft?
Ready.
Let's do it.
All right, guys, and for this draft, we're going to be using a function of the draft simulator that allows you to perform quick mock drafts just like our draft simulator. The only difference is that you can practice against other human opponents just like you would in a normal mock draft, right? It's an easy-to-use interface. It's virtually identical to that of our regular draft simulator. It's the multi-user draft, and it's now available in the Draft Wizards mock draft lobby. It's never too early to get some practice mock drafts in with your friends. Please go check out the mock draft lobby and our draft simulator at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. Again, that's fantasypros.com/draftwizard and click on the mock draft lobby to practice with your friends. All right, so we're going to have 30 seconds after I hit the start button. It's going to randomize our draft position. Tags, why don't you explain what best ball exactly is? Because we're doing a best ball mock draft today.
Best ball is something that's a whole lot of fun because, like, basically what the best part of fantasy football is what we enjoy is we enjoy drafting, right? And best ball, all you do is draft and you don't have to worry about waivers, no trades, no nothing. You draft guys and it automatically sets your best lineup every single week. So bye weeks actually come into play. You do have to draft backup quarterbacks, which is something a lot of guys in the industry don't like to do. This draft in particular, we're going to do an 18-round mock draft of the normal positions, one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, one tight end, one flex spot. It's not a super flex. One defensive spot and then the rest bench. So it's going to be a pretty deep draft. And Bobby, of course, just happens to get the best pick in the draft. He gets the 103 pick.
Talking about the best pick. This isn't the best pick.
Well, I mean, it's the best pick of us three.
You got McCaffrey, obviously, and I think Saquon at number two.
I'm going to take Michael Thomas here because it's full PPR. I don't love taking him at three, but which way would you go here, Jeff?
I don't have an issue with that. In fact, I don't have an issue with taking him at two, you know, because you think about sure things in this year's draft. McCaffrey, absolutely. Thomas may be the next surest bet on the board. So I don't have an issue with that, especially as you said, PPR. I mean, how many balls is he going to catch this year? Is he going to set the record again this year?
Sure, he gets Breeze for hopefully the entire season this year. And if not, he gets Jameis, who's just going to chuck the ball. That's a lot of fun. We didn't talk about that, by the way.
Yeah, I need to think about my pick here at 106. I've landed 106, by the way. Jeff has 107, and this is a 12-team mock draft. So I'm in an interesting spot, and this is where I've always been. Like, I'm actually torn in drafts, where if you have a middle of the first round pick, if you want to go wide receiver, like Davante Adams, for example, we all know that the Packers did not draft a wide receiver, which is kind of ridiculous, but whatever. And I have Dalvin Cook on the board. Now, if I were to pass on Dalvin Cook and take Davante Adams, what running backs am I going to be looking at there in the second round?
Right.
I'm probably hoping that someone like Kenyon Drake were to fall to me, maybe like a Nick Chubb. There's other names we're going to talk about in a moment.
I wouldn't feel great if either of those two were my RB1s, though.
I actually would not be opposed to having Kenyon Drake as my RB1 at all.
Do you like him better than Aaron Jones?
I do. Aaron Jones has moved down to my RB15 after the
draft. Oh, what?
Yes. We'll talk about him in a moment.
Jeff, you sounded upset about that too. Sorry,
not really upset. It's just a bold move. I moved him down to 10.
I moved him down to 8. I think you guys are a little, wow. He was the RB3 last year. Tags, who are you picking?
I am going to go Dalvin Cook just because running backs are going to be harder and harder to come by. And I don't want to risk, like, because I look at it, worst case scenario is if I take him and then I'm stuck with maybe, I don't really want Nick Chubb as my RB1 this year. And I'll explain why as we get to that range. But I ended up going Dalvin Cook in a very run heavy offense.
All right, Jeff, you were up at pick number 7, which means you and Tags might be sniping each other back and forth. Are you going wide receiver here?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go wide receiver because the running back, the top tier for me has dried up now. And to be fair, the Packers did sign Darryl Stewart Jr. as an undrafted free agent out of Michigan. So get excited, Packers fans, with that wide receiver right there. No wideouts. Davante Adams was the number 2 fantasy wide receiver down the stretch after he returned from injury. Only Michael Thomas scoring more than him. But Devontae Parker was right there as well. But another story, another time. I'm going Davante Adams with this pick.
He's my number 2 wide receiver as well, Tags. That, I'm assuming that's who you have too.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the pick I would have gone with. I debated him at 6, obviously getting Cook. And as he mentioned, going from Dalvin Cook down to someone like Joe Mixon, there's a decent gap there. I have a feeling Jeff's going to be pretty torn here on what to do because a lot of running backs just flew off the board.
All the running backs are off the board. I was really hoping that Nick Chubb or Josh Jacobs would drop to you, but it didn't happen, Jeff.
Didn't happen, but I'm not really worried about that. You know, for me, I think every draft has its own unique appeal to it. And that's what I love about these drafts. Even though, generally speaking, players kind of come off the board in the same range, no two drafts are alike, and it allows you to really come in and tackle a set of challenges. You know, I view the draft as a game. You know, so right now I'm playing against you guys. I know a lot of people, when they're drafting their teams, they view it as, I am drafting my team. But you're not just doing that, right? We're making our opponents pay for letting value slip on the board or making, you know, reaching for picks. We're going after roster construction challenges throughout the course. So I do actually think there are running backs on the board, and I think this one is a fairly easy one for me. He's not the highest in terms of ECR, but Leonard Fournette, after last year, adding in the passing game, we know they're going to be run heavy. I have him as my number 13 overall player. I do actually have Chris Godwin one spot ahead of him, but I'm willing to deviate a little bit from that to shore up my roster with who I think is a top 10 fantasy running back.
I was really hoping you were going to let him fall, Jeff. I should have known better. It's a great pick, especially in PPR. He had so many catches last year. Now, Ted, you're up at 2-7. You going wide receiver?
I am probably going to lean Chris Godwin here. I do feel like he flourished last year in this Bruce Arians system. They're using exactly the way that they did Larry Fitzgerald. Now, Gronk coming in obviously does change a little bit because I do worry about the fact that this offseason that the players haven't had a chance to work with each other. And, you know, you might see someone like Tom Brady that hasn't been able to work with Chris Godwin gravitate towards something he knows. But we don't know the shape that Gronk's in. But what we do know is that Chris Godwin, in terms of what Tom Brady's skill set is right now, I am not saying he can't throw the deep ball because that's kind of a misconception, but Chris Godwin does fit this offense extremely well. We saw him kind of flourish last year, and he's going to continue in development. He's a borderline first round wide receiver, particularly in PPR leagues. So I'm going to go with him here rather than the running back I'm contemplating. And I'm going to leave that to Bobby because I know Bobby is going to probably grab the guy I want. So I'm not going to talk about him. But Jeff, you mentioned something while Bobby's deciding on this. You mentioned that Jonathan Taylor, rookie running back that was drafted at the top of the second round to the Indianapolis Colts, you did a SiriusXM draft, right? And you said he went how high in that draft? And that was a redraft format.
Now, it was 1 hour after the draft wrapped on Saturday evening, but he went as the 14th overall pick at 2-2. I felt that was a little early. We actually, in this draft, just saw Clyde Edwards-Helaire come off the board at 2-8. I feel like that's even just a little bit too early. Beware the hype machine. It is going to happen. I hope Daryl Williams is not involved. Damian Williams will be involved, at least in the short term there. And I think there's going to be a lot of frustrated fantasy owners in September. Remember, right now we look at the entire season, but when we get to week one, you're going to be losing your minds if he goes out and has only 10 touches. You know, so just be careful here. It feels a little early at 2-8.
Guys, I'm having a really hard time because I want Todd Gurley. He's the best running back. But both Travis Kelce and George Kittle are still sitting on the board. I don't want to play the tight end game.
In best ball, it's interesting at the tight end position. I definitely understand. There's some people that I've done drafts before where guys will take both Kelce and Kittle in the first and second rounds.
Man, I would love that.
I mean,
I'm doing it. I'm taking Travis Kelce here.
So Bobby has gone the zero running back so far. Obviously landing Michael Thomas and Kelce. I can't fault you.
Kittle just went off the board. See, and Gurley dropped to me. So good. Okay, I get Gurley in the third round. He's definitely the guy that I would want. I agree with what Jeff said, that Leonard Fournette and then Todd Gurley is the last of a tier. I feel like there's a really short second tier after you get the Josh Jacobs, Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones off the board. And I would put Todd Gurley and Leonard Fournette in that tier. So I'm going to grab Todd Gurley right now.
Yeah, Gurley is fine. Obviously, Atlanta didn't draft a running back. We were wondering if they would be a team to do it.
They could still sign Freeman or something like that, but it seems like he's going to be their workhorse.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to come back to Jonathan Taylor, and I didn't think Edwards-Helaire was going to fall to me, but Jonathan Taylor I was hoping would, and he did. I am going to choose him over Le'Veon Bell, over Melvin Gordon, and I understand that's not the sexy thing to do, but the reason I'm doing this is because Le'Veon Bell plays for an offense that's still trying to work its way through. Adam Gase can't navigate anything. His offenses without Peyton Manning have all been outside the top 18, if I'm not mistaken, in scoring, so Le'Veon Bell's ceiling in best ball is terrible. Melvin Gordon... they're still going to mix in Philip Lindsay a little bit. That's going to be somewhat of a timeshare. Jonathan Taylor behind that offensive line there. Now, granted, he's more of like a Nick Chubb player. And this is where I wanted to ask you, Jeff, is that Nick Chubb is being drafted as a borderline first round player. He's going early second round most of the time. What can we say is different about Jonathan Taylor and Nick Chubb? Chubb obviously sharing a lot with Kareem Hunt there. And once Kareem Hunt did come back into the lineup, those two were essentially identical in terms of in a PPR format. I think Kareem Hunt actually may have outscored him. But Jonathan Taylor, Let's not pretend that Marlon Mack is any competition to him. And Nyheim Hines was a guy that they didn't want to use a whole lot last year. Why should we not want to take Jonathan Taylor, especially here in the third round? I feel like it's a no-brainer for me.
Well, I think third round's appropriate. And I think the challenge, you mentioned Nyheim Hines, they're going to use Hines. There's no doubt about it. They don't want Hines to get 150 touches, 160 touches. But for him to have 45 catches, 50 catches, I wouldn't be surprised at all. So there's just not a lot of meat on the bone. But you asked, what's the difference between the two? Well, Nick Chubb doesn't have any 2,000-yard seasons under his belt. Am I correct in that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Taylor has two of them and almost three. There's only three players in college history who've done it twice in the FBS, and he almost did it three times. And I think we may be underselling his ability in the passing game just slightly, but the problem is I can make that evaluation, but if the teams don't buy into it, well, it doesn't matter what I think.
Right.
So we'll see how Indy views him. But I think this is appropriate value for him and Edwards-Helaire in the third round if you're looking right now. But remember, recency bias is going to bump these guys up the board. But Tags, I need to get your address after we're done this so I can send you a thank you card for leaving Mike Evans on the board here in the third round for me. I have a second round grade on him. I will take this pick all day long. And the idea here is, hey, Tom Brady, I think the narratives were overblown when you look at the roster last year. I think he can chuck the ball downfield. And I really like what they did in the draft as well. Beyond that, adding Tyler Johnson, adding Keyshawn Vaughn, adding help along the offensive line, this team just continues to hit home runs, and I'm going to get a piece of it if I can for best ball purposes. So a whole bunch of players come off the board after that. I mean, DJ Moore was certainly in the mix in terms of consideration for me. Amari Cooper goes at 310. I think that's a tad early given all the mouths to feed there. But, you know, it's one of those spots where I feel like I went running back in the second round, followed that up with a wide receiver, have to go back to running back here because it's really starting to dry up. And when I look down my board, man, you just talked about the problems with Le'Veon Bell. I do agree there's a number of problems there. But at the same time, when I project him out, he does project out favorably just from a volume standpoint. I do hope the team takes a step forward this year. They got Denzel Mims in. That should help the cause a little bit in terms of moving the ball downfield. Receiver weapons, Breshad Perriman as well. And maybe we see, we see the tight end emerge finally here. I don't know. I'm going to go with Bell. I don't love the pick, but I have to grab a running back here.
Yeah, I do. I love the pick in the fourth round.
He's fine. He's almost one of those guys that I talked about it before, is that I actually am going to end up with Le'Veon Bell in a lot of my redraft teams because he's falling to like the fifth round, and it's kind of crazy, but he's a volume guy and he's going to be fine. He's not going to lose you your league, but he's not going to win it for you either. So I think you have to go in with those expectations. Whereas like last year, I said he should have been drafted by Leonard Fournette and Chris Carson, that I felt like that was a territory in the third round. So to get him in the fourth round, I still think is a value. And if he fell to me here, I probably would have considered him just to take care of another running back slot. But now I'm torn. AJ Brown, obviously we know he comes with some upside, but last year was a ceiling play for him. He was doing a lot after the catch. He can't sustain that. Robert Woods, they lost Brandon Cooks, and we know when Cooks was out, Robert Woods was targeted relentlessly. I'm really debating Robert Woods with this pick. It kind of makes a whole lot of sense to put him alongside with Godwin in a PPR format. But the other one I'm considering is Mark Andrews, but not so much a PPR guy, more he's fine, but I feel like there's other tight ends that I can get along with here. I think that Robert Woods is going to be my choice, and over Cortland Sutton, by the way, because ECR is telling me that AJ Brown and Cortland Sutton should be taken before Woods. I don't agree with that. Cortland Sutton just lost a ton of upside. He already was somewhat limited in a run first offense, you know, with Vic Fangio wanting to play defense. Now adding Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler, it's going to be even tougher for him to find consistent targets. So I'm going to take Robert Woods here.
All right, before the next pick, I want to pause just a second to say thanks to one of our sponsors, Manscaped, who's the best in men's below the belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Guys, back in college, my friends and I were going to spring break, and we were waiting for one of my friends, and finally I went and was like, dude, what the heck is taking so long? Of course, he nicked his nuts when he was trying to shave them, man. Don't be that guy. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent those manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped advanced skin-safe technology. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery's going to last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. And one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology, and let's not forget about the charging stand. Show off your mower loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a rapid charging dock powered by USB. If you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience this firsthand. Trim that junk of yours. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Yates at manscapes.com. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Yates, Y-A-T-E-S, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code Yates.
All right, Robert Woods off the board. A.J. Brown off the board. I would have considered A.J. Brown. However, I need a second running back. I've got Todd Gurley, and that's it. The two options I'm deciding between here, Chris Carson and David Johnson. I'm going to pick Chris Carson first because I think David Johnson might fall. I don't love David Johnson. I don't know if he's going to play more than five or six games with his back, his leg, everything that's going on. And I guess you could say the same for Chris Carson because he runs so dangerously that he's probably going to be banged up at some point this year as well. But both these guys are going to be workhorses in their offenses while they're healthy. So I'm going to take Chris Carson now. And on the swing around, either David Johnson or Darren Waller. I'm assuming one of them will be there.
Nice. And hey, Jeff, what's your take on this Rams offense? Obviously, they did not address the offensive line in the draft, and that's something we were talking about in the podcast yesterday. You know, losing Brandon Cooks in that field stretcher, I know they drafted the receiver there. But Are they going to be running more two tight end sets? They drafted another tight end, Bryson Hopkins, in the, I think it was the fourth round. How do you feel about this receiver core? You know, where do you where are you ranking Kupp? Where are you ranking Woods and maybe even Josh Reynolds?
Both those guys, the first two are top 20 for me. And it's weird because they had no depth beyond Josh Reynolds, nothing. And Van Jefferson, for me, a guy who never posted a 20-plus dominator rating at the college level. So he never had a breakout year at the college level. And he's being drafted ahead of guys who were. It was a bit of a head scratcher. Bryson Hopkins is an interesting player. Some people even had him early on as maybe their number one dynasty tight end out of this year's class, the rookies. Ultimately, I think that was all settled when, you know, Kmet had his rise in the pre-draft process. But regardless, I think this is a bit of an indictment on Gerald Everett for the long term for this team. I don't think Tyler Higbee is going to be going anywhere, and I think he's going to be plenty busy here. The problem for the running backs, of course, as Todd Gurley showed us last year, is that you just can't – there's no room to run in this offense with that offensive line.
So I said I was going to take Darren Waller if he was there. David Johnson's gone, but Courtland Sutton's sitting there on the boards. I wasn't expecting that. I'm going to grab him.
I mean, Sutton, I think he took a big hit, and I could be wrong.
He did.
In this. So,
I mean, he would have been drafted in the early fourth round. Now I got him in the fifth. I'm fine with that.
I moved him down to my wide receiver 24 after the drafting of Jerry Jeudy and KG Hamler. I mean, we're going to have Noah Fant in his second season. He's going to grow into a bigger role. Melvin Gordon's going to eat up some of that passing work. Jeff, where do you have someone like Courtland Sutton? I may have dropped him too far, but I dropped him down to wide receiver 24.
No, I think that's appropriate. I think the only reason why he was ranked so high before is there was basically nobody to give targets to other than Fant. Now you have Jeudy in there. I had a lot of people on Twitter arguing with me. And remember, like, if you're listening to this podcast, you know you're listening to this for fantasy purposes. But a lot of my comments on Twitter are fantasy oriented. So when I say that it hurts Courtland Sutton, I mean for fantasy. For football, yeah, hey, it's great to have a guy like Jerry Jeudy lining up opposite you. But there's only one football. And that football is being thrown by a quarterback who is very unproven. So I am I'm with you there. I actually moved him down to the exact same spot, Tags.
Nice. All right. So I feel good about that, about Bobby taking him at 5'3", because I was worried he was going to take one of my tight ends, then the other one was going to come off. But either way.
He was the 24th wide receiver off the board, by the way.
That's about right. And that's what I'm saying. It was more to me about positional stuff, because I have Chris Godwin. I have Robert Woods. I was looking for a tight end here, and I'm happy to say that Mark Andrews, who I considered last round, has fallen to me. You know, I do understand that Lamar Jackson's going to regress a little bit in the touchdown department, but I think it's understated in terms of what Mark Andrews has actually done over the first 2 years of his career as a tight end. People just all of a sudden have forgotten the fact that tight ends just don't produce early in their career. Mark Andrews has walked in from day one and has produced. He took the next step in his career last year, losing Hayden Hurst this offseason. They've obviously shown a ton of confidence in him, and they didn't draft a wide receiver with a high pick. Devin Duvernay is not going to walk in and see 100 targets. So Mark Andrews for me is the tight end 4 off the board in the middle of the fifth round. I'm happy with it.
So hold on, I thought you had Darren Waller as your number 3 tight end. What happened there?
I've moved Waller down considering all the receiving options they've put there. I think he loses some targets. I love Darren Waller, but I've moved him down based on the targets that they've added. They drafted 3 wide receivers in the first 3 rounds.
I agree. I just thought you'd definitely take Waller.
It might be 2 because Bowden was announced as a running back.
So long for Josh Jacobs used in the receiving game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he'll be moved around the formation. Bryan Edwards, too, is an absolute stud. I don't think we should overlook him there. But, you know, so now we get into the fifth round for me. I like in best balls. I may not take this strategy as much in a regular redraft, but I like loading up on running backs if I can early. And I get the sense that even though he's a little bit further down in rankings, Cam Akers isn't going to last much longer. I'm going to take the shot on the upside on a young kid who I love in this year's class.
Do you think the Rams offensive line is going to be good enough that they can produce any RB2?
Here's the thing. He ran behind terrible offensive lines at the college level, so he's used to it. That's my thought process with Cam Akers, and I'm just gonna roll with that one right there.
I don't have a problem with the pick whatsoever. I'm curious if you're really excited about Cam Akers, or you just think, okay, this is gonna be the starter, I'll take him.
It's more or less that at this point, when running back starting to dry up and you're starting to look at guys like James Conner and Devin Singletary, who, you know, their jobs could be threatened for sure with the draft picks that both of those teams made respectively. So coming back around, already 3 running backs, I'm kind of liking that early here. And again, different strategy here in best ball than what I would take in a regular redraft league. But I want to still load up on wide receiver talent while I can and get some upside while I can. And while San Francisco did add Brandon Ayuk, I am going to go with Deebo Samuel with my next pick here because it's best ball, because we know he has that juice.
Yep.
He's an easy pick for me.
Dang it. That's who I wanted, Jeff. I didn't think he was probably going to fall, but I didn't know you were going to snipe him from me. All right, Tex, who are you going with at 6-7?
James Conner is probably the pick that I'm thinking about here, and I know some people might be taken back by that because of the draft. Anthony McFarlane, people are talking about him eating into that workload. I still think James Conner is the guy. But I'm torn on this, man. I do have Dalvin Cook and Jonathan Taylor, but no other running backs. And then you have David Montgomery, who, I mean, he should take a step forward. The Bears don't have any competition for him at the running back position. But the Bears offense, I mean, where do I anticipate it going, especially when they didn't draft an offensive lineman until the 7th round, which is very disappointed. this is tough. So it's either that or do I take my shot at quarterback. Dak Prescott was obviously phenomenal last year, and they just added CeeDee Lamb to that offense. Obviously, a new offense coming in with Mike McCarthy, but I usually don't like to take quarterbacks this early, but I'm so torn on this one. Oh, guys, help me out here.
I'm not helping you because I don't want you to take my guy.
This is tough.
Here, take Julian Edelman. How about that?
No, I don't want Edelman. I don't even know who his quarterback is right now. Jarrett Stidham, I think. I don't know.
It is.
Oh, I'm going to go James Conner because the running backs are going to dry up and I'm going to be mad that I'm left with, Matt Breida as my RB3 or something. So
do I want to take, I'm going to take Kareem Hunt and then just cross my fingers that Mostert falls. I just really don't want to miss out on Mostert in that San Francisco offense. In fact, I would think about taking both Mostert, just both San Francisco running backs. I'm going to go Kareem Hunt here though. And then I'm going to go Raheem. Oh no. Oh, man, I thought he was taken because he went off my board. Okay, so I got Hunt and Mostert. I'm done with the running back position. You guys have fun.
All right, Jeff, where are you putting Mostert now that they moved down from Matt Breida? How high are you actually willing to move him up your draft board? Because we can't forget, they still have Tevin Coleman there, and they're getting Jerick McKinnon back, who they surprisingly held on to this entire time. Jeff Wilson's coming back to steal a couple touchdowns. How do you feel about Mostert?
I think you have to consider him close to the fringes of the RB2s. I just am not willing to just read everything into last year. You know, the same knock that people had on Devin Singletary, the unsustainability of big plays, we somewhat forget that we can make that same argument about Raheem Mostert last year.
Right.
So, yeah, I think fringe RB2, my problem there is that Kyle Shanahan showed us last year that, you know, if the hot hand goes away, he's going to find the next hot hand. And that could go, I mean, let's not forget, Mostert's no spring chicken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at this point, I mean, granted, he doesn't have a lot of wear and tear, but he's not a young guy at this point in his career.
All right, Tags, you're up. You've got Dalvin Cook, Jonathan Taylor, James Conner, and then at wide receiver, Chris Godwin and Robert Woods. You have Mark Andrews. You going another wide receiver here?
No, I'm going to actually go with Kyler Murray. I'm going to take a quarterback. In the 7th round, it's okay for me with that, especially in a best ball format with his rushing upside and now adding DeAndre Hopkins to that offense. I mean, the defense has taken strides to get better. It's really going to be interesting to see Isaiah Simmons and Buda Baker on the same field. Like, that just offers you a lot of flexibility. But I'm going to take Kyler Murray here and solidify one of my quarterback spots.
A lot of people are wondering, like, Tags, what are you doing taking a quarterback this early? There's going to be 35 or 40 quarterbacks taken in this draft.
Yeah, that's true.
And to be fair, the top tier wide receivers are gone. And in best ball with wide receivers, it's a lot easier to find them in the later rounds because all you really need is a couple big weeks out of them, and they're going to be filtered in and out of your lineup.
I feel like this 35 to 55 range is a lot of very similar quality wide receivers.
Yeah, and when I take a quarterback like Kyler Murray, I don't feel pressured to grab three quarterbacks necessarily. I just want to get another one that's actually somebody that's not fragile that I anticipate being there. Typically, if you wait at quarterback in best ball, you're most likely going to draft three of them. In this one, I might only take two because I took Murray this early.
I like it. All right, Jeff, you're up for two picks.
All right, so the first one, again, I'm going to solidify as many of the higher-end running backs as I can, and not that David Montgomery is higher-end per se,
right,
but the list is drying up here, and it's drying up pretty quickly. I still buy into him from a talent standpoint. I hope that, you know, he takes a step forward this year and, you know, stops dancing too much there, really hits the hole and starts creating after contact. But I'm willing to take a shot on him at this point in the draft in the 7th round.
Mm-hmm. I like the pick in the seventh round. I mean, there's only one way to go with David Montgomery, and it's up, right? I mean, the way last year went, I mean, he did get goal line work, but he didn't convert many of them. That offensive line was a little banged up. I mean, do we think Trubisky is going to get better? Do we think Nick Foles is going to be the starter? Whichever one of them is playing, they have to be playing better than Trubisky did last year, opening things up a little bit. But I agree, the arrow can only go up for him, and the Bears are going to give him every shot to succeed being a third round pick.
Absolutely. And, you know, I will say I'm going to apologize to everybody listening to this podcast right now. Over the next few months, I am going to do my best to single-handedly drive Tyler Higbee's ADP up.
Man, taking my guy again.
It is the eighth round right now. He's here. He's my guy. Anybody who listens to my pod knows he's my guy. I did speak with a unnamed Rams coach at the combine who basically verified why I should be all in on him. What we saw last year is going to continue to happen. Maybe not 100 yard game after 100 yard game,
sure,
but heavy usage. And at this point, especially in a best ball with that ceiling, I don't have a tight end yet. It's a slam dunk for me.
I moved him up. I have him as my tight end 7. I have him ahead of Hunter Henry. So
me too.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Bobby, how high do you have Higbee?
I've got him tight end 7 as well. And he's a tight end that I'll be targeting probably more than any other tight end based on his draft cost. Whoa, Gronk came off the board before Higbee. How about that?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be people that'll do that 100%. That's going to happen in fantasy drafts. So I didn't think it would happen here, though. All right, so I'm definitely missing some wide receivers. John Brown doesn't offer much upside in best ball. He didn't last year, and that was without Stephon Diggs there. I can't imagine it's going to get any better with Diggs there. Justin Jefferson's a fine player, but that's a very, very low-volume offense and one that Stephon Diggs struggled to get over 100 targets in last year, even with Adam Thielen out for basically half the season. I'm looking at Sterling Shepard here. He's like the forgotten guy. He's the number one receiver there. It's not Darius Slayton. It's not Golden Tate. I know Evan Ingram's going to be coming back, and Saquon Barkley are going to get targets. But those two, I'm taking the number one receiver on the Giants. Basically, I'm going to take Sterling Shepard here. I know that people don't love him, but I think he's just undervalued as a wide receiver.
So you're just going to leave John Brown for me? Oh, he was taken.
John Brown, again. I mean, why would you want Brown? So Brown had, I think, one game over 20 PPR points last year. This is a PPR draft, by the way. And
right.
And with Stephon Diggs there, is it going to help? I mean, I've moved him down my rankings quite a bit. I mean,
I don't mind drafting one or two safe wide receivers who are going to produce week in and week out, which is what John Brown did. Double-digit PPR fantasy points in 15 weeks last year.
But you add Stephon Diggs, and all of a sudden that safety goes away. I mean, Jeff, are you with me on this one, that John Brown might be a little bit overdrafted based on what last year's success?
I'd say so. I mean, the team obviously had a priority here of adding speed. You know, getting a guy like Gabe Davis in the fourth round, Isaiah Hodgins as well, they have the downfield speed. Gabe Davis is interesting. I mean, he could contribute right out of the gate, even though he's a day three pick. He kind of has, maybe a little bit better of a skill set than somebody like Duke Williams offered to them. I don't know if there's enough balls to go around, especially with how much they run and Josh Allen runs.
All right, we're going to keep going here in just a second. But first, we're giving away a signed full-sized Alvin Kamara Saints helmet. You can check out this bad boy at fantasypros.com/contest. And all you need to do to enter, just leave an honest review. Go to iTunes or Stitcher, leave us an honest review. Any feedback, positive or negative, is appreciated. We read every single one of them. We really appreciate it. Send a screenshot of your review to contest@fantasypros.com. And of course, that comes to us courtesy of Pristine Auction. And you guys are going to check out Pristine Auction because they've got so many good values that you can add to your office. No matter who your favorite team is, favorite player, they auction off hundreds, sometimes even thousands of items in a day. So you're going to be able to find something that you love. And there's great values all over the place as well. Everything's guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. So here's what I want you to do, okay? Go to pristineauction.com and sign up. Hit the registration code FantasyPros, all one word. It's free to sign up. And that's going to give you $5 off to spend at Pristine Auction. Check out pristineauction.com. That's PRISTINE auction.com. Guys, I'm going to draft Justin Jefferson. Jeff, do you think this is way too high?
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, as Tag said, he's a big slot. So in a redraft league, I don't mind it as much as in a best ball where I'd probably be looking at some of the rookies with higher ceilings.
Yeah, I just think about all the targets that can happen with Adam Thielen being older and dealing with injuries last year. I mean, if he's the only wide receiver in that offense, He could have a dynamite season.
I don't really know how to. I like Justin Jefferson a lot. I don't like the offense. Like I said, even with Thielen out last year. And Thielen, if he plays the full season, Justin Jefferson, like, what's the cap on him? 80 targets, maybe, which it's not a bad pick in this range. I actually have him one spot behind John Brown, so they're right in the same territory. But there are a couple guys that are still on the board that I definitely would have taken him over him.
Yeah, I'm taking Anthony Miller. I mean, the Bears didn't address the wide receiver position until Darrell Mooney in, what was it, the sixth round. They've got Allen Robinson there, obviously, but Anthony Miller was fantastic towards the end of the season. Looking at his game log now, he really turned it on. This is who I expected him to be at the start of the season. They just didn't give him the snaps. Now that he's on the field, I love Anthony Miller.
Miller, solid play. I lost faith in Matt Nagy last year in terms of what I expected out of him. He had a great rookie year with the Bears in terms of what he was doing play calling wise, but last year was a disaster, and I just don't know if I have faith in him to get out of that. So now my pick, this is where I am going to go a rookie. There's a couple guys on the board. Robbie Anderson was one that I contemplated, but I don't know what's happening there in Carolina in terms of Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore, Ian Thomas, Christian McCaffrey. There's just a whole lot of mouths to feed, and Robbie Anderson was inconsistent with the Jets when he was probably the clear-cut number one. But I'm going to take the guy that, for whatever reason, was drafted as the first wide receiver off the board in this draft. It was Henry Ruggs. I mean, I'm on record as saying that pick was not a good one.
At least it's a good best ball pick. Yeah.
It is a good best ball pick because he is going to get targets by necessity in that offense. You know, when you draft a player at number 12 overall, he's going to get targets when he's on the field. Hopefully Gruden and Greg Olsen can, you know, get together and create ways to get the ball in his hands, make him work after the catch. But hopefully Bryan Edwards can turn into, you know, a solid option opposite him to kind of drive some of that attention away. Because as of right now, Henry Ruggs is the attention on that offense. So in a best ball format, I'm digging him as a bench wide receiver.
Now, Jeff, I know that some guys over at PFF were pretty high on Ruggs. Are you with them?
Well, see, this is where I might disagree. And I think this was the pick that made the most sense for the Raiders. Maybe not as 12 overall, but it makes the most sense for the Raiders because you look at what Henry Ruggs does well. And if anybody tells you, you're listening to this podcast and somebody tells you that Henry Ruggs is going to take the top off of defense, tell them they are full of you know what, because that's not what he's going to do. He's going to catch the ball in the short and intermediate and yak the heck out of the football. He is run after catch in space and low ADOT, and we look at Derek Carr, there were only three quarterbacks in the NFL out of qualifiers last year who had a lower ADOT. Where does he excel? Short and intermediate. Very accurate in the short and intermediate. Put the ball in the kid's hand and let him go that way, kid. Just run that way, and Ruggs is going to do that. So I actually like the pick there, and I love the pick for tags here. Love, love, love Henry Ruggs in the ninth round in a best ball. For me, I have to get on the quarterback train here. So I'm looking at the quarterbacks on the board. And for best ball, I'm actually going to go with Carson Wentz here. The thought process being the Eagles added a whole bunch of speed. So there could be some really big games brewing for this team.
Yeah, I like Wentz. I mean, I hated the pick, obviously, in the second round of Jalen Hurts. It just made no sense for the Eagles as a franchise. But it is what it is. But Carson Wentz got some weaponry around him despite that. I definitely dig that pick as well. Back onto Ruggs, a lot of people don't know, and I love that Jeff brought that up too, is that Ruggs, didn't Jerry Jeudy catch like five times the amount of passes that went 20-plus yards than Ruggs?
Yeah, his ADOT was over a yard and a half longer over the course of their college careers as well.
Exactly, and people think that just because he's a burner that that's what he's going to do. And it's not to say that he can't take the top off a defense with 4.27 speed, but that's not the player that he was at Alabama. I think part of me wonders if he benefited from all the talent that they had there, because that receiving core may have been one of the best I've ever seen for a college. It was four deep, but Ruggs, he will get opportunity. So, but yeah, Carson Wentz, he's kind of a forgotten one, a guy that if you can get him outside the top 10 quarterbacks, I think you're stealing.
And you meant to say Taysom Hurts, right?
Taysom Hurts. Oh boy.
That is what he's going to be potentially for that offense. But yeah, Henry Ruggs, I mean, just the dunk reel, the highlight reel of his dunks is good enough for me. I'll take that. But here, you know, again, best ball, I probably wouldn't be looking at this player in a redraft, but in a best ball, I want to get pieces of Kansas City if I can. I want to get a guy who could score two touchdowns and have 150 yards on two catches. So I'm taking Mecole Hardman here.
Yep. I wonder what the Chiefs are doing. Like, obviously, Sammy Watkins coming back and then DeMarcus Robinson coming back. And I'm like, why? I mean, I don't know. I wanted Mecole Hardman to have a bigger role this year, and I just don't know if it's going to happen. That's the part.
Tags, did you realize, too, that the Kansas City Chiefs signed six wide receivers, rookie undrafted free agents, six of them. So I don't know what they're doing there, but there's obviously something brewing in that building.
Yeah, and it's one of those things like Darrell Henderson, right? Where, you know, he was the Rams traded up for him last year, and then they go and take Cam Akers in the second round this year, and it's like, wow, did they just say something about Darrell Henderson because they know who he is? You know, but Mecole Hardman, he was a baller last year when he got the ball in his hands, like one of the most efficient seasons I've ever seen. So I really don't know what's going on there either. But, all right, it's back to me here. And as much as I, it is a PPR format. Sony Michel's here, but I'm not taking him. I can't do it. I'm going to admit that I was a big Sony Michel fan coming out of Georgia, but in the NFL, he does not look like the same running back. I can't explain it. Like, he reminded me of a LeSean McCoy type running back in terms of, like, he had agility. He could catch the ball out of the backfield. And then he comes to the NFL, he forgets how to catch the ball. He looks stiff. Like, he looks like a two down back.
It's got to be the knees, man.
It is insane how much different he looks. I've moved on. I'm done. And especially in a PPR format, you don't want him. I'm going to take Tariq Cohen here in a best ball because Tariq Cohen was a guy that finished as a top 12 running back in 2018 with some big plays under his name. We knew there was going to be regression, but last year he had none of those big plays. There will be regression, like positive regression this year in the right way. So he can make things happen after the catch. So Tariq Cohen, the 10th round in a best ball. Yeah, all day.
And for anybody who's going to tweet tags right now, stop it. Positive regression is a thing.
Yes.
Okay? We don't need to tweet him. Get on your high horse. All right. It just simply means we're moving upward to the mean. It is a thing.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for that, Jeff. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. I don't have a quarterback yet. Matt Ryan's still on the board, so I'm going to snag him. And on the way back, hopefully Aaron Rodgers is still there. I'm going to get myself two quarterbacks. Ooh. And he is. Let's do it. Nice. Back to you, Tags.
That's not bad. I mean, you have two stable quarterbacks. I was debating Rodgers on the way back here. But yeah, I feel good about my roster right now. I mean, I have a lot of sturdiness, like Chris Godwin and Woods. Those are sturdy. Shepard, a little undervalued. Ruggs, obviously, competing with Shepard. You could argue that Ruggs should have been picked over Shepard. But now we're getting to the point where you're looking at a couple rookie wide receivers that are on the board there. I already have a tight end. I'm waiting a little bit longer to grab another one. I'm really curious about this one. So Darrell Henderson, again, I just mentioned him. He's showing as the next running back on the ECR. We have Ronald Jones right behind him. I believe Henderson still has a chance to touch the ball, I would say 10 to 15 times in this offense, even if Cam Akers does have a significant role. Because by drafting, they traded up to get Henderson last year. Didn't give him much of an opportunity. It does concern me that they said a whole lot, being like, well, we had him on our roster for a year, we know who he is, and we feel the need to draft Cam Akers in the second round. That does worry me. But Ronald Jones, he was a guy they didn't trust at all when there was nobody in front of him. They didn't have a Todd Gurley on the roster, and they refused to go to him. So I think Darrell Henderson here in the 11th round kind of makes some sense. And even if something were to happen to Akers, we have to think about these things in best ball. Darrell Henderson would be a top 10 running back in terms of fantasy if he had to play, you know, in a workhorse role.
You think so? In this Rams offense?
I do, because he's the passing down option. And that's where a lot of work can be had, especially with Brandon Coscon.
I mean, I guess Joe Mixon was really good last year in a terrible offense, but...
Yeah, I mean, well, Mixon, he's a difference maker. Like, Joe Mixon's really friggin' good.
Yeah, I don't think Henderson is.
Now, Jeff, have you heard anything about Mixon in terms of, like, what's going on with him and his contract situation? Because he's threatening a holdout if he doesn't get an extension. Do you think Cincinnati's going to extend him? Do you think that this is real? What's your take on that?
I think it's very real, and I think it's going to happen more often. And by the way, Christian McCaffrey, if the Panthers would have let him play out this deal, extended him to the fifth year, then franchise tagged him each of the next 2 years, that would have come out to just under $50 million, likely, given the projections for the franchise tag numbers, not $64 million what they paid him. I think we're going to see more teams playing hardball here, which unfortunately for us is going to lead to more running backs holding out. I think this is not just smoke. There's certainly fire here, and folks should be prepared for a Joe Mixon holdout.
All right, Jeff is back on the board. He's got pick 127 overall in the 11th round.
Yeah, and so we're going to, you know, Tags just mentioned the rookie wide receivers. I'm glad that he didn't go with any of them. I'm going to take the one who I think has the highest ceiling and really good opportunity in Denzel Mims.
Yeah.
Size, speed, better player than a lot of people realize as well. And, you know, he's not just like a nine route guy. So easy one for me. I typically don't want to load up too much on rookie wide receivers, but, you know, here's a spot where I'm willing to do it. Now, I only have the one quarterback. I look at the guys on the board. I am thinking straight best ball mentality. Already have Carson Wentz, And we saw last year that there is a young quarterback who has an enormous ceiling. Now, he may not be consistent week over week, but number one quarterback in any given week ceiling in Daniel Jones. So I am going that route with Daniel Jones, even though there are redraft guys I would probably draft ahead of him at this point. Can't deny the best ball upside there.
It's too bad you couldn't pair him with Darius Slayton, because every time Jones had a huge week, it was Slayton who had a huge week.
Yeah, no, I love that pick. And people don't realize just how like up and down Daniel Jones was. It was like four touchdowns or one or none. You know what I mean? Like there was no in between with him. Like, I don't think there was a game where he threw two touchdowns. I'm being honest. But Daniel Jones, great pick in a best ball format. Should take a step forward in year two, especially with that upgraded offensive line. He never had a game last year where he had all of his receivers and running back and tight end all on the field. Like, there wasn't a game where Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, Darius Slayton, Evan Engram, and Saquon Barkley were on the field together. It just didn't happen. So I dig that pick a lot. Ronald Jones is still on the board. I'm contemplating him here, but I need to beef up some wide receivers because I have five running backs on my roster right now. Quarterback can be waited on. There's plenty of guys there right now. I am going to go with another rookie wide receiver, and I'm going to do it over Robbie Anderson because I mentioned I'm not a big Robbie Anderson guy. But I think Michael Pittman has an interesting opportunity here in Indianapolis. First off, they drafted him in the second round. They did that before they drafted Jonathan Taylor, so it was more of a priority for them to get Michael Pittman than him. And it makes sense, too, because when you look at the roster that they have, T.Y. Hilton, not a true number one anymore. Like, he's over 30 years old now in the final year of his contract. Paris Campbell, probably going to play the slot now that they've moved on from Chester Rogers. But Pittman, some people compared him to like a Vincent Jackson type player. And if you go back to, you know, Los Angeles with, you know, Philip Rivers, he loves throwing it up to those guys that are big body receivers. He trusts them, and he's not worried about interceptions. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Aaron Rodgers. Willing to throw it up. And Pittman, excellent contested catch receiver. I think he has an opportunity to succeed from year one. And you think about like even the tight end, the fact that, you know, they have Jack Doyle is their traditional tight end. They have Trey Burton now as their move tight end. I think we all know how we feel about Trey Burton right now. And so I think Michael Pittman has an opportunity in year one to do some damage.
All right, guys, I'm going to go with my second tight end. I've already got Kelsey, so I only want two of them. I don't want to mess around with the three tight ends. And I think Jared Cook is reliable. While he was on the field last year, he most certainly was. He's my tight end 10 this year. So I'm going to grab him and to pair with Travis Kelsey. And then let's see what falls to me at 13-3. I'd like another wide receiver, but man, it is disgusting out there. You know what? Actually, DeSean Jackson, I really like grabbing him in the 13th round of a best ball league. Now, I don't know if he's going to stay healthy, but he's definitely going to have some big weeks if he does.
Yeah, DeSean Jackson. I mean, with you know, them drafting Jalen Reagor, I kind of wonder what that means in terms of is DeSean Jackson disposable? Like, Jeff, you're a Philly guy. Do you think DeSean Jackson will remain on the roster?
He should remain on the roster, but Jalen Reagor is, I think we have to be clear, a lot of comparisons made to DeSean Jackson. Jalen Reagor is like twice the body mass of DeSean Jackson. He, at the combine, I was about 100 yards away from the podiums, and I saw him, and I didn't know who he was from that distance. All I was thinking is, who the F is that guy?
Yeah.
That guy is a man amongst boys here. Really intriguing, and like I said, three speed guys plus the Marquise Goodwin trade, they obviously are prioritizing something they lacked in last year, other than week one when DeSean was on the field. So I think Reagor will eventually replace Jackson, but you can't guarantee neither Jackson or Jeffrey are going to play an entire season.
All right, so I am on the board here in the 13th round, 150th overall. I still have Mark Andrews as my only tight end. Mike Gesicki is here, and it's heading towards the point where it's like you have TJ Hockenson, who was honestly terrible efficiency-wise last year. I would anticipate that'll correct itself. It's a small sample size. Jonnu Smith, very low-volume offense. Jack Doyle, yeah, but he's dealt with some injuries over the course of his career. I'm not in love with the tight ends that are coming, so I'm just going to go ahead and take Mike Gesicki and get my second tight end out of the way. Now, especially if Tua Tagovailoa, you know, does take over as a starter, that means he's healthy, and he's an upgrade for that offense. So I actually like the pick. I think everybody knows that. Locking up my tight end.
Yeah, after Jared Cook went off the board, Fant, Goddard, Gesicki, I think Goddard may have been off before that. I wasn't keeping track of him, but I thought one would get to me. None did. So this is typically what happens in drafts. You have to, you know, you have to balance that out and go in different directions. And sometimes, you know, I always say I really don't love the handcuffing strategy in regular drafts, but I love to get handcuffs in best ball, especially the naked handcuff. And okay, if you're listening to this, don't let your imagination run away with you there. Naked handcuff to me means you don't own the starter, but you're grabbing the handcuff.
Yep, love that.
And one stands out to me as a slam dunk if the starter gets hurt. The starter has had a lot of carries over the course of his career. That player is Tony Pollard, and we saw how electric he was last year. So that'll be my fifth running back. Add him to the stable, and if something happens to Zeke, that can be a best ball league winner.
That's a league-winning pick, yeah.
Yeah.
You going to get Madison here on the way back, too? Just double up on those naked handcuffs?
Comes back to me, and now, yeah, I agree with Tag's sentiment on TJ Hockenson, but it really gets bad quickly. Like, I don't want to risk on Jonnu Smith. Certainly don't want to get down into, like, the Blake Jarwin territory. So Hockenson, he's the 15th tight end on the board. Actually, it'll be like the 17th off the board because Greg Olsen, for some reason, has already been picked. But I'm going to take him here. I think it's decent enough value, and I already do have my guy Tyler Higbee.
Yeah. So, Bobby, thank you for almost ruining my draft pick. But Alexander Mattison was a handcuff to Dalvin Cook, who we know that has dealt with some injuries over his career. And the Vikings, to be fair, they were using Mattison quite a bit last year. They didn't use him in the passing game much at all, but he can provide some value in a pinch during bye weeks. And unfortunately, I should mention this, and I did say when you're doing a best ball draft, you definitely want to pay attention to bye weeks. But we don't have the NFL schedule yet, so we have no idea what the bye weeks are, which is why we're not looking. We don't see them in here. So basically, we don't have to follow bye weeks right now because that stuff would start coming into play. But I'm going to take Alexander Mattison here.
You're going to take Mike Boone, too, just to make sure you've got the whole Vikings backfield covered?
Well, I mean, we actually know what Mike Boone does when he actually gets an opportunity, so I'm not too excited about that.
He was awesome in Week 17. What are you talking about,
man? In Week 17, we were all done playing fantasy football. Just stop it, Bobby. Just you should have like tried to erase that name from your memory.
No, I won't do it. I'm taking Brandon Ayuk here, rookie wide receiver out of San Francisco.
Hate it. Hate the landing spot. I mean, this is not bad in best ball, to be honest with you, Bobby. But I'm saying, did you really like the landing spot? Like, Jeff, how did you feel about Ayuk?
I like him being drafted in the first round. That means targets, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is opportunity there. There's a whole bunch of Jags on that team. They're obviously remaking things. How crazy is this? A year ago, everybody at this time last year, we're like, yeah, Dante Pettis, he'll be the number one. Nope. And I'm not even projecting him at this point. That's how far he's fallen down that roster.
Yeah.
Ayuk could be the two. I mean, granted, George Kittle is really the one.
Right.
So Ayuk is essentially the three. But in a best ball with his athleticism, I don't mind the pick here whatsoever. I think there are better landing spots tags, but I don't absolutely hate it. I think it's okay.
And then I'm going to go out and get Corey Davis. And I know a lot of people are really mad, but I'm all about loading up on the wide receivers. I think he still has a little bit of upside, too.
I mean, I haven't given up on Corey Davis completely, but it's sad.
It is. Is this like the same as Devontae Parker? Like, could he break out this year like Parker did?
I mean, Parker didn't have competition for targets necessarily, whereas A.J. Brown is clearly the guy that's taken over. But I do think there could be a resurgence, yeah.
I mean, like, you know, Parker was splitting the workload, the target share with Preston Williams. They were the same fantasy wide receiver until Williams got hurt, and then Parker was the only guy there. If A.J. Brown got hurt, Corey Davis would be the only guy there, but we've seen that before and it wasn't good.
Yeah, we didn't see it with Ryan Tannehill, though. So, I mean,
that's true. That's
the ascension of A.J. Brown took place when Tannehill took over. And speaking of Tannehill, I'm going to take Ryan Tannehill here as my backup quarterback. Some safety there. He actually provided upside, too. He has more rushing upside than people realize.
And imagine if they throw the ball more than like 15 times a game.
Yeah, pairing him with Kyler Murray, I feel pretty comfortable with that duo. I really did want Joe Burrow, but Burrow went off the board, I think, two rounds ago. So I wasn't able to snag him.
All right, Jeff, it's on to you for two picks. Do you have your backup quarterback yet?
I do indeed. So at this point, looking to just add to the stable of wide receivers. And again, I'm going for as much upside as possible, get the ball in his hands and maybe make something happen. One of the fastest receivers in last year's class and kind of getting slept on right now is Paris Campbell.
Sure.
Hey, it's the 15th round. So, you know, again, I have a type in best ball. He certainly fits that type. And I think Rivers gives him some stability in that passing game that they've lacked since Andrew Luck, really, obviously. And upside.
When you were talking about the fastest wide receiver in the class, one of the fastest, I thought you were going to say Andy Isabella.
Yeah, it's a crowded house there now all of a sudden. And the you know, so T.Y. Hilton surprisingly got old very quick. He's going to be north of 30 this season. You have Pittman, who I like a lot, but he's not really a speed receiver, right? He's, you know, the Vincent Jackson, I think, is very apropos for him. So I'll take the speed receiver of the bunch there with Campbell. And I'm going to kind of go back to the well here. things really dry up pretty quickly. As you look down through the list, it gets pretty ugly. I'm not crazy about the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers drafted a wide receiver this year in Chase Claypool. I know some people are saying he might be a tight end. Watch his workout. He ain't a tight end. This dude right. is a wide receiver. But James Washington still could be the number three. I don't know if this is an indictment on him or not. I'm going to buy in that he will have that spot, and he could have a couple big weeks with Ben under center. So in round 16, it's certainly worth the pick.
And you know, if Ben's healthy, they're going to throw the ball 600 times.
Yes.
Well, I mean, if his arm doesn't fall off. Yeah, James Washington, I still think there's a chance that Claypool doesn't start in three wide receiver sets. They already said that the Juju is going to play in the slot. So I actually don't mind Washington here. Might be a better player than Claypool altogether. I don't know. I guess we'll see. The one's the shiny new toy, though, so he's going to go a lot higher. I mean, by the way, I don't know what forced me to look to see if Alan Lazard was still going to be on the board, but guys, if you guys didn't notice, he went off the board in the 10th round.
Wow.
Oh.
I'm curious.
I missed it.
Yeah, I'm curious where Lazard is actually going to go in, like, once ADP settles in. I mean, I have him right now as the wide receiver 59. I'm not in love with him. I don't think that he has it locked up. I think it's possible that Devin Funchess actually turns out to be the number two there, which... it's kind of crazy, but I think it's possible. I hate the board right now in terms of what I'm looking at, because there's not a whole lot of upside here. So it is either I take someone like Devin Funchess and shoot for that upside in Green Bay, or I take some safety and provide like a floor play from week to week in Cole Beasley.
Beasley and Sanu are both still available. I like those picks.
Well, Sanu doesn't have a quarterback. I mean, Beasley, we know that like Josh Allen loves him over the middle of the field. He got over 100 targets.
Yeah, but is Sanu the number two in the offense?
Yeah, probably. I'll take Beasley here because I think the other guy that I want might fall, even though I just talked about some of them. It's always a weird thing.
Drew Luck just came off the board. I was going to grab a third quarterback. I don't know if I will now. I'm going to go ahead and take my first DST, the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I almost forgot about defenses we have.
Yeah, I really wish we just would have done it without defenses. Like, I know best ball leagues have defenses, but it's just so boring to pick, right?
Yeah, we only have two picks left, actually. We're in the 17th round now.
I'm going to take the Minnesota Vikings, and let's just keep cruising.
All right, well, they fell to me. I'm going to take the New Orleans Saints as my defense. That team is built to win a Super Bowl right now. They're going to be my pick, I think, from the NFC over Tampa Bay. And, Jeff, I know it's really, really early to obviously predict this, but who would you say that your what's your Super Bowl prediction right now if we had to choose?
Kansas City, New Orleans. New Orleans top to bottom. The roster is elite.
Yes.
It's really scary how good they are. Tampa's going to be sexy. But my concern is, you know, the momentum they built on the defensive side of the ball last year, especially towards the end of the season with the secondary getting better, Murphy Bunting, guys like that, is can that carry over? And, you know, you can't necessarily guarantee that, as we see in the league from year to year. But it's going to be a lot of fun there. And, you know, on the other side, it's going to be a lot of fun, too. But it's just hard to envision a scenario where Kansas City doesn't make a repeat run. I mean, they were a coin flip away from being in the Super Bowl the year before
right.
as well. Let's not forget about that, the stupid coin flip rule in overtime. But anyway, defensive side of the ball, I'm still in on the Chargers. I mean, you look at the pass rush that they have with Bosa. If Derwin stays healthy, too, I think maybe they end up being ranked a little bit higher than what they are right now. So they're the number 11 defense in ECR. I have them about the same. I think I have them at 10, but easy pick for me. If I have to pick defenses, I'll take them.
If they just had a quarterback we could trust, the Chargers team is loaded.
Mm-hmm. And maybe, I mean, hey, with Herbert, this is a pretty darn good landing spot because he has such good surrounding talent.
Yeah.
He has safety blankets in Allen and Eckler and Henry, and then he has a downfield threat in Williams. I don't mind it. I really don't mind it for him whatsoever. All right, so my final pick here, I'm going to go with a Belichick protege. We know that the Patriots have been a good defense for fantasy purposes, seemingly year in, year out. Tennessee showed last year that defense can keep them in games. Maybe not the best fantasy option last year, but I'm going to take a shot on a upside defense. You know, sort of they're a middle-of-the-pack defense who could certainly outplay this position.
So I'm not going to draft them because it's like they're way down the list. But Washington Redskins, that front seven is pretty nasty. They could be a really good defense this year. But I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs. They're still on the board. They're a team that everybody kind of forgets about. And last year was first year moving to the 4-3 scheme. I think it's pretty impressive what they did.
Best defense in the NFL in the second half, at least in terms of points allowed.
Right. So, I mean, they played fine, but I have the Saints in there. I just had to grab another defense. Let's be honest. None of us really want to draft the defense here.
Yeah. Guys, I'm going to grab a third quarterback. And the reason why is because if you're playing in best ball and one of your quarterbacks gets hurt, you could be absolutely screwed. So I like to grab three quarterbacks in a best ball league. I'm trying to decide between Cousins and Garoppolo, but it doesn't really matter because it's my 18th pick. So let's just do it. I'm going to go Kirk Cousins, and let's see the draft grades here.
All right.
I got an 88 B+.
You left Jared Goff on the board. 4,000-plus passing yards right. Each of the last 2 years. Interesting. Very interesting.
In best ball, I would have taken Goff over Cousins because Goff is very hit or miss, and you can almost predict the games when they're going to come to.
Sure. All right, Tex, what'd you get? What's your grade?
91 A-.
Oh, you beat me, man.
Wow, I beat Bobby. What is going on in the world? How about you, Jeff?
I have a 78, so yeah, C+. My bench kicks butt, but yeah, they don't. Your system does not like my starting line.
This is based around the consensus, and a lot of times, honestly, right. I don't agree with the consensus. That's why Bobby beats me in mock drafts most of the time. But let's run through our rosters real quick. I will give mine first. So I have Kyler Murray at quarterback. My backup quarterback is Ryan Tannehill. At running back, I have Dalvin Cook, Jonathan Taylor, James Conner, Tariq Cohen, Daryl Henderson, and Alexander Mattison. My wide receivers, Chris Godwin, Robert Woods, Sterling Shepard, Henry Ruggs, Michael Pittman, Cole Beasley. And then tight end, I have Mark Andrews and Mike Gesicki. And then at defense, I have the Saints and the Chiefs.
All right, I'll go next. I've got Travis Kelce at tight end and Jared Cook. Wide receiver, I've got Michael Thomas, Cortland Sutton, Justin Jefferson, Anthony Miller, DeSean Jackson, Brandon Ayuk, Corey Davis. I don't like my wide receivers all that much, but I got a ton of them, so it's going to be fine for best ball. Running backs, Todd Gurley, Chris Carson, Kareem Hunt, Raheem Mostert. That's it, just the four of them. I got three quarterbacks, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, and Kirk Cousins, and then the Bills and Vikings as well at defense. Jeff, what's your team?
Carson Wentz and Daniel Jones at quarterback. Running backs, Leonard Fournette, Le'Veon Bell. I can see why I got the grade I did. David Montgomery, Tony Pollard, and Cam Akers. Wide receivers. I actually like the wide receivers. Devontae Adams, Mike Evans, yeah. Debo Samuel, Mecole Hardman, Denzel Mims, James Washington, Paris Campbell. Really happy with that. Mm-hmm. Tyler Higbee at tight end along with TJ Hawkinson. And then, of course, the defense is the Chargers and the Titans.
Yeah, I think it was really just running back there is probably what you got penalized for. Because, it's tough. So wide receivers are interesting in best ball because, a lot of times you could find guys down there in the later rounds that can give you a couple big weeks here and there. Whereas running back, that's more injury dependent where it might be a little bit rougher to find those guys. But not bad overall.
All right, guys, that's all for today's show. Jeff, as always, it's a blast having you on. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys.
All right, and I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Pristine Auction. It's Pristine Auction.com. Make sure to sign up and use that registration code FANTASYPROS when you sign up. It's free to sign up. That's going to get you $5 off your first purchase. You're going to find something you love at PristineAuction.com. And don't forget to sign up for our signed, full-sized Alvin Kamara Saints helmet giveaway that we have going on at FANTASYPROS.com/contest. Thanks also to Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code YATES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code YATES. That's YATES. And again, if you want to participate in this multi-user draft, just go to fantasypros.com/draftwizard and enter the mock draft lobby. You can draft with strangers. You can draft with your friends. Send it out to your friends while you're sitting at home bored. It's a lot of fun. It's going to grade you at the end. See who wins. Again, that's fantasypros.com/draftwizard. All right, everyone. For Mike Taglier and Jeff Ratcliffe, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.